Welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the podcast where we discuss indie films. Today, we have the lovely guest, Mano Agapian.
Yes.
And you, I am so excited you're here. This film that you recommended, I've never heard of in my life.
Uh-huh.
I had trouble getting.
I know.
But when I did, I was like, oh, I need to talk to somebody. Like, I almost posted on Facebook, like, has anyone seen this?
Forgiving the Franklins.
Yeah, everyone, it's called Forgiving the Franklins from 2006. Uh-huh. And everyone was like, oh, you mean that movie, people confuse it with the documentary.
Is it Finding the Franklins? No, it's like Finding
the
Freedmans.
Yeah, Finding the Freedmans or something like that. Yeah, everyone confuses it with that. And I'm like, no. This is a movie.
Mm-hmm. And some very strange performances in it.
Yeah, the trailer is so boggling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Is this like a weird incest film? Mm-hmm. But it's very misleading.
Very misleading. I think the best way to describe it is the director saw American Beauty
mm-hmm.
and said, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I'm going to do this thing that comments on American family culture.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did he fail.
Yeah. I feel like I feel like the trailer's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because it's so not the movie.
That's true. It's pretty boring and dry. The trailer does, the one on YouTube, I assume mm-hmm. we're talking,
yeah.
it does like give you a clue of like what the fuck is going on. And the trailer even has like quotes in it that mm-hmm. they misuse misleadingly.
Really?
Well, like there's literally one, there's a quote in the trailer that's like, I was left speechless.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that review said, I was left speechless because this was fucking dog shit. But like they use it as if to say, positively, I was left speechless.
Hold on. Did you not like this movie?
I did not like this movie.
I enjoyed this movie.
Talk to me. In what way?
I thought it was okay. This is going to be interesting.
This is going to be fascinating.
On a technical level, this movie's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the way it's shot, it reminded me of, not The Room, not even The Room. Like a lot of the background choices they make,
mm-hmm.
prop choices are very distracting.
Yes.
It's very distracting.
Dude, what did you like about the movie? And
this is not to be combative,
but we have to talk about this.
I liked the message.
Okay, yeah, I think the message, there's something to the message, which you would say it's something like what religion is poisonous.
I think are you religious?
No. No.
Were you raised religious?
Yes.
Okay, same here.
Yeah.
So some stuff I was able to grasp, like, okay, in the barest of terms, this is about the Franklin family.
Yes, you should say that.
A mother and a father and a son and daughter, both in high school,
mm-hmm.
and they're very, very Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they pray at dinner time. Their mom's very involved in church.
Yeah, very entrenched in their Christian community, clearly.
Yeah.
Like, affected by their circle of friends and in the church.
Yes. And they're very, very conservative. But then they get in a car accident that leaves all of them except one in a coma.
Uh-huh.
And when while
And you thought that scene, wasn't that scene bonkers?
That scene was hilarious.
That was cuckoo ka-choo.
Yeah, because the mother finds that, the mom has a breakdown over finding out that she needs to buy edible flowers for the cake she said she was going to make.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's like, have you even heard of such a thing? And I'm like,
edible.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to paint the characters as conservative.
Yeah.
Then she's like, let me check on the cake in the car. She lifts the lid, I suppose, and notices the flowers are very wilted.
Yes.
She has a tiny little panic attack. She's like, whatever, husband.
Yeah.
The flowers.
Yeah. And then they look distractingly. And then
a Mack truck.
A truck comes out of nowhere. The car flips the fuck over.
Uh-huh.
Here's what made me laugh. The car flips over, but you see the church with the doors open and a tire comes rolling into the church.
Right.
And I'm just like,
It was insane. This movie is bad. Okay. Connie.
I feel like it's a good message.
The message is good, but you know it's poorly executed.
Communicated in the worst possible way.
Yeah. Okay, I can agree with that. But there's so many insane swings taken.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's even talk people through it.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
I should say, should I say I stumbled on this?
Yes,
or I can say
please,
it later.
Please, I'm so curious.
Okay, so I grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
In North Carolina. And I remember me and my friend Jamie and Adam were just like, let's just go watch a movie. I think it was the night after heavy drinking. And we were like, we need to go to the theaters and sit in a cold room and do nothing. Mm-hmm. We went to the theaters and this one theater in town, I think it was the Carousel. Anyway, there was nothing good playing. Mm-hmm. Like there was nothing good playing. We were just like, no, I don't want to watch that. I wish I could remember what other movies were there. We could probably do a sleuthing. But anyway, and we were just like, I don't want to watch anything. And then someone in the box office was like, hey, you should watch this this film. It was shot locally. And it's going to it's going to all the festivals. It's going to be in all the film festivals. You should really watch this movie. It's like really good. And we were like, okay, I guess we'll watch it. Why not? Let's watch something perhaps more interesting. It was Forgiving the Franklins. It was shot in my hometown.
Wow.
Yes. So they were showing it in a theater in my hometown to kind of, I know, give it a boost something.
Yeah.
And so we go to watch it and we're trying to engage with it. And we and maybe just because watching that in a huge screen in a dark of a theater, all the mistakes are glaring.
Oh boy.
Like all the poor acting and the choppy camera, it's all just really glaring and insane.
Yeah.
And so I remember I tried to leave multiple times, probably during one of the first sex scenes. I was we have to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex scenes.
There's a lot of older man dong, which is not to shame an older man dong.
Yeah, I mean, there's a character. Okay, so their teenage son, they hint at, is gay. But, okay, there's a sex scene with him and his high school coach.
Yes, who is, I think it was a wrestler. He's a porn star.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes more sense.
I remember because I was Googling this movie and then he came up and then it said that he was an adult film star. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that makes sense.
That makes full sense.
Because he looks like an adult film star.
I feel like I've probably seen the porns he's in.
I for me, it was just very easy to visualize.
Yeah. It's so funny. There's such a crossover in my brain between wrestling and porn.
I mean, at some point, I'm sure he did wrestle. So.
Probably. But anyway, we saw it in a theater.
Uh-huh.
We tried to leave. They, of course, were like, we cannot leave. We have to see how this train wreck ends.
Yes.
And I watched that whole movie in a theater. Yeah. And then I later found out that he's made other films that he shot locally.
Oh.
I think this director lives in Greensboro.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who was like, oh, I know him. He made an earlier film where I have a small part in it and my mom plays a robot.
What?
He apparently has made another film that you can find somewhere on YouTube. In fact, someone sent me the link where it's all about a human falling in love with a robot. And it's safe to say, I bet the robot's very poorly done.
I need to see this film.
I will send you the YouTube link, I promise.
Okay.
So anyway, back to the film. Okay. We have after the wreck part, right?
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. Everyone's in a coma. And they all go to this place that's like a valley.
Yeah.
Like a dream valley.
A very windy valley where they could not get good sound.
Yeah. Oh, I assumed this was all ADR.
Of course.
They all did this in a booth.
And they made it like a stylistic choice, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I could just see the crew being like, well, according to the credits, there was no crew.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a disaster. Because it ends with like a sitcom ending. Oh, no, it starts with a sitcom opening.
Yes.
Remember the opening's like, doo-doo-da-da-da-da.
Well, the music was very free trade.
Very so, that.
Yeah, and
so there's no crew credited.
Yeah.
But I have to say, in the Windy Valley,
their
voices can be heard, but their lips aren't moving.
Which I feel like was an interesting choice, but also I bet the guy was like, guys, we don't need a sound man for that. I figured it out.
Right. They make it work, but I see right through them.
Yeah, you could kind of see that they're like, we cannot get a boom guy out for this.
There's no way.
It's going to be too windy.
There's no way.
But, okay, so they go somewhere, and then they meet someone who's chopping down a crucifix.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, don't do that. And the guy says that he's Jesus.
Yes.
And he hates that people celebrate the worst day of his life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, oh,
the man
yeah.
in the valley says, I'm Jesus. Yeah. Don't celebrate the bad day in my life.
Uh-huh.
And he says, oh, there's so much guilt in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then
he reaches into the, he reaches into the back of the family's skulls and rips out
a candy apple.
Yeah. But it looks like it's covered in blood.
Right.
And like plops it on the ground.
Right.
And then the family thanks him. And then a bunch of other crucifixes just plop up in the valley.
Right. And he's frustrated at them.
Yeah.
As if to say, so he keeps saying like, oh,
they're like weeds.
Right. They're like weeds. And this Jesus is saying like, that's not what my message is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you thought this scene was good.
I never said that.
Okay.
I never said that.
I just want to know how much I can rail against it. Because I don't want to be just a meanie.
No. It's totally fine.
Okay.
I feel like this movie, I feel like it has a good message, but it's just communicated in a way where I'm just.
Uh-huh.
It's like if Tommy Wiseau had a movie with a good message.
Yes, because you feel like the room's message is nothing. Yeah, well, that's true.
The room is an ode to himself.
Right, the
much.
Room is just like, I was the best man in the world and they still did me wrong.
Yeah, and now you'll see.
Yeah,
but
great.
But, okay, so in this I took to be, it removed their shame.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like it's symbolizing their taking a bite from the Garden of Eden.
Right. There's a lot of Christian connections there. They're mm-hmm. trying to connect that dot of the apple being the original sin.
Yeah. Because when Eve took a bite of the apple, she realized she was naked and felt ashamed.
Right. So he's removing apples from people's brains.
Yeah. He removes the Christian shame from their brains. And so they all wake up out of their coma
mm-hmm.
and they are joyous.
Yes.
But poor sister.
Poor sister Aviva, played by the actress Aviva, who was in Superbad.
Was she really?
She's in Superbad. She's like the babe in Superbad.
Am I thinking of the Jonah Hill movie?
The Jonah Hill movie. She plays like one of the babes in it.
I need to rewatch that.
I think she plays the other babe because it's also what's her name?
Emma Stone.
Right. It's Emma Stone in her. She's in it. So I think at this time she was red hot, scorching hot.
Yeah.
And boy, did she make a strange choice with this film.
This movie, she's making a lot of choices in this.
Oh, she's going big.
Yeah.
She's cussing at God for like 60% of the movie.
Oh yeah. She says prayers throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Where you could hear her prayers and she's just like, fuck God. Why did this happen? Me. I'm going to be a fat ass. And It's the worst.
She's like, God, you're a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, God. Like, it is awful.
Yeah.
She's bad.
Yeah. She says the most selfish prayers, and she's the only one that's also, like, she's not in a coma, and she's also injured.
Yeah.
Like, she hurt her hip or something.
Right. So she has to walk with a cane because she was a cheerleader.
Yes.
In classic fashion. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, she cannot continue her perfect life as a cheerleader.
Yeah. And she also always thought she was fat.
Right. They kind of talk about her eating issues.
Yeah. Like she's like, oh, I'm not going to eat that and get fat.
Yeah. Get fucking fat. yeah. Okay, great. Keep going. Okay. I have something else to say when another character comes up.
Oh, okay. Okay. So right away, the parents are...
They're free.
They're free. And then they start to... Because you do see them have sex before the accident.
Oh, right.
And it's terrible.
It's like really, really quiet and shameful and with closed eyes.
Yeah. Like they both keep their clothes on.
And you really see the man purse up his face and turn purple as he comes.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's sick. Can I say come on your podcast?
Yeah.
Great. Come.
We're going to have to, if we're going to talk about the rest of this movie.
Right? It's gross.
There's
like a sex scene where he opens his eyes and sees her.
Yes. And they're like, whoa, what are we doing? And then they have sex. They talk about sex for the first time in what feels like forever.
Yeah.
And they start to figure out foreplay.
Mm-hmm. And she's showing her bush everywhere.
She is nude for most of this movie.
She's very naked in this. Yeah. And she really does look great. She just looks great. That's all I have to say. I wanted to say for her age, but she looks great. Mm-hmm. But really, she's really featuring her bush a lot.
Yeah. I mean, good for her. I mean, she's a mom.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
You don't see any ding dong, but you do see a lot of bush.
Remember those shameful smoking scenes that happened earlier?
Oh yeah, there's a scene before the accident where she's trying to smoke a cigarette, and mm-hmm. to hide the smell, she wears a shower curtain, shower cap.
And does she put on gloves or something?
Oh, does she?
I don't know. She does something. She smokes it and then she puts it in the toilet and sprays potpourri. To show how fanatical she is about being good and not sinful.
Oh, yeah. She's so repressed.
They really hit us over the head with that.
Yeah, they're very repressed. And
so after their original sin's gone, mm-hmm. now they're being naked.
They're having fun with sex. And they do not put their clothes back on.
No. You see a lot of dongage.
Mm-hmm. You see, do you see his dong?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Definitely you see his dong.
Okay.
Flaccid, of course, but you definitely see his dong a couple times, because there's a one scene in particular where he doesn't have any shame anymore about his body, and his daughter comes in.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, put on your clothes, Dad. Mm-hmm. He's like, what? What's the big deal? Just my penis.
Uh-huh.
And of course she says something, one of her classic lines, like, are you trying to incest on me?
Oh no. That's okay.
That's with her brother.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so this is actually kind of understandable. Okay.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Yes, he's weird.
Yeah, he was being weird. Okay, so he wakes her up in the morning, and he's stark naked.
He's very naked.
And she's just like, what are you trying to incest on me?
Yes.
And he's like, huh? And that's totally fair.
That is so fair, because see, that's what's so flawed about this movie is, like, the message they're trying to accomplish is, like, we're just good people.
Yes.
We're free from Christian puritanical guilt. But there's scenes like that where, like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah, it's like, no, you got to warn someone first. Also, it's your sister.
I want to say he has a boner in that scene, too. Like the sister's like, you have a boner. And he's like, sorry, sis, I was thinking about the coach.
Wow.
Yeah, there's like, they it's a fucked up. Okay, so should we talk about how he begins a flirtation with the coach after?
Yeah, it's not subtle.
It's not subtle at all. He's like, now that he doesn't have guilt, he like starts talking about liking the coach. And then does he shortly after have sex with the coach? Or that's a little later?
I think it's a little later, but not too much later, because the coach is willing.
Very willing.
Yes.
Very willing.
Yeah, like... They do it in the shower or something.
Yes.
At school.
Yes. They do it in the shower at school. Maybe before that, there's a scene where, like, the husband, the wife, and the son, like, get together at, like, a picnic table.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, oh, man. They're basically talking about the dream and saying, like, was that dream real?
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that when they decide not to go to church?
I think so. Yeah.
Like, they're about to step foot in church, and as they do, they're like, I don't want to go in.
Like, let's go get donuts?
Yeah.
I think?
Yeah. They all decide to get donuts.
And the daughter's like, what are you doing? You're being bad Christians.
Yeah, and so she goes into church, hobbling in.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of them decide to go get donuts and just enjoy their Sunday. And they're just talking about their dream in the park. And then the son pretty much comes out to the parents, and they're just like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh. It's insane. You have to watch this movie. It's on Amazon. It's like $4 or $5. I'm just saying, just buy it on Amazon.
I couldn't find it for streaming
really?
On Amazon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, you'd have to buy the DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a disaster. What else I want to say? Because shortly after, they introduced that neighborhood mom character.
Oh, yes.
Who, by the way, I've seen at UCB Sunset a couple times.
What?
Yeah. I think she was taking improv classes.
Wow.
But I was like, I saw her and I was like, it can't be. And then I put some pieces together and I was like, absolutely, without a doubt, is her. Because I mean, you know, I guess she's trying to pursue acting, of course.
Yeah. Oh, she's acting. She's She played the judgy neighbor in
the
this.
Judgy puritanical neighbor.
Yeah.
And then I wish I could go up to her, because I wonder if she's like super stoked to be in it or not, you know?
I mean, It was definitely something that probably caused a stir when it came out.
Uh-huh.
Because, okay, so, all right, The family is starting to do things naked now. Like the mom gets the paper. She goes out in the morning and gets the morning paper naked.
That poor dog has to look at her muff every day.
Yeah, and just poor dog, lucky dog.
Lucky dog. I just thought it would be funny to say poor dog. As I said, she's a very lovely lady.
She has
lady.
An outstanding body.
She's an hourglass. She's banging.
Oh, yeah. And the daughter faints when she sees the whole family's naked.
Right.
Because that's what you do when you see your family naked.
Right.
I thought it was funny that they mentioned Krispy Kreme.
Yes. Yes.
You think they would have made a fake name, but
right.
They just full on said, let's get Krispy Kreme.
They were like, no one's going to come. Krispy Kreme isn't going to, I mean, like, no one's going to see this.
Like, we can only hope that Krispy Kreme would see this.
Like, if you had to guess how many people realistically have seen this film, what would you guess?
Do you know the answer?
No. Oh. I'm just curious. Like, what do you think? Like 2,000 people? 1,500?
3,000?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's...
Is that a big number?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either.
I really don't know.
I want it. I want it to become a little shitty cult classic.
I would love that because yeah. I was not bored at all no. when watching this.
It's not one of those ones. It's like this is just bad and boring. It's like stuff is happening.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a third act thing yeah. oh, that no. really happens.
Nothing is predictable.
No.
Nothing is predictable.
No.
Like because my thoughts were like, oh, they're gonna teach this town how to lose it. No.
No.
the neighbor, her name is Miss Lester?
Miss Lester.
Yeah, it's a very strange name.
I wonder why.
I mean, it is kind of an unpleasant sounding name.
Oh, I think it's for a joke in the film. Don't they like call her Miss Lester or Mo Lester or something?
They call her that?
I think there's just like literally one joke.
Uh-huh.
Where
I
they're
mean, it
like,
does kind of sound like that.
Yeah, it sounds like molester.
There's a part where she talks to the mom, and the mom brings up all the abortions Miss Lester had, and she's like, "Don't bring that up."
Oh my god, yes.
Which I thought was funny.
It was very funny because she's so free of guilt. They do hit that so many times where it's just like they really are free of guilt now.
Mm-hmm.
They're really free of guilt.
Yeah, and also Miss Lester, her husband's like a drunk or something, right?
Right.
Like, he's always, like, passed out drunk or something mm-hmm. whenever you see him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, everyone's freaking out. Everyone's like, why weren't you at church? What do you mean you're talking about sex? What do you mean your son's gay and you're fine with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's being extra judgy and mean.
Right. A little bit of dead air here. It's like, we get it. Mm-hmm. We get it. Does the dinner... No, the dinner scene is not yet.
No.
There's a pivotal dinner scene.
But the thing what I found very interesting is they don't try to force Caroline to join them.
Mm-hmm.
Like she wants to do prayer before dinner and they indulge her.
Yeah. I think one of the things that frustrates me about it is that like it's kind of like an improv scene where it's like, tell her what happened. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like I don't know if they ever effectively say, hey, we've realized that there are some things in Christianity that are toxic that mm-hmm. are keeping us from being just good people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but so for an hour of the film, if not longer,
mm-hmm.
instead of confronting that, mm-hmm. we dance around that key thesis statement.
Yes. Yes.
That's frustrating.
It's a shame because I feel like the family, it's hard to explain what happened. Okay.
I wish Jesus came back in the film. It's a bummer he doesn't.
Oh, I know.
I want him to go all the way and he's like a delivery man in the background.
He appears in more dreams. That would yes. be amazing.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So did they have I don't know when this happens, but the mom and dad are having sex.
Yes, they sure are.
The mom says she wants him to shove ice cubes up her ass.
Yes. This is crazy.
And
this is the coup de, what's it called? Coup d'etat? Coup de grace?
Coup de grace.
Coup de grace.
He gets a glass full of ice cubes and stuffs them all up her ass.
Ice up the ass. What do you think this symbolized? Ice up the ass, because this person loves symbolism, like apple out of the head. Okay. But ice up the ass?
I mean, I don't, all like, I can't even, I didn't even think about symbolism, literally mono, as a woman. All I can think is it's a cube.
It's a cube in your ass.
And I'm just like, how did you get the first one?
Exactly.
And then
as someone who has things in their ass, you quite often.
Yeah.
everything needs a taper.
Yes.
You would never want a cube up there.
No, that'd be like, stick a brick up my ass. And I'm just like, how? And then on top of that, like 4 or 5 of them, a tray almost.
Right, like maybe a crescent. You know, maybe a crescent-shaped ice, but these, I don't think they're crescents in the film. They're straight up cubes.
No, these are not like those marble ices. These are cubes, and it's a big glass.
Maybe those fruit ices. Remember those?
I mean, that makes sense. If there was a banana-shaped ice, I'd be like, okay, I know what was happening here. But a fucking cube, and then he does it like succinctly, no time for melting, and I'm just...
And we watch her really... come and like oh yeah.
No, there would have been so much more pain.
He puts ice up her ass, and it's to symbolize that she's so free now. She's not thinking about what's wrong with sex or what's not good to do.
I mean, okay. But it's just I logistically refuse.
I wonder why the screenwriter or director was like, this is it. Ice up the ass.
Maybe that's the wildest thing they've ever done.
Maybe they were. I'll never know that. Because as you can imagine, when I was watching that in a theater on a huge screen, we were the only people in there, thank God. I was just screaming, what? Why? Why? Because once again, this movie, which already was bonkers, continued to surprise me.
Oh, no, it keeps doubling down. Okay.
Ice up the ass.
Because he tells his coworkers about it because one of them says that he's going to divorce his wife because they're not having sex.
Right.
And he's like, have you guys tried talking about it? Like, me and my wife tried something new, and he tells him about the ice up the ass. Mm-hmm. But this gets him fired?
Yes. That's so stupid.
Yeah, because they're like, we don't want someone like this working at our law firm.
Well, a couple problems with that. What does that have to do with the job?
Yeah.
Second of all, because lawyers are known for their constant morality.
Yeah.
And what is immoral about ice up the ass? It's strange as hell.
Yeah.
I would have respected if they say, honestly, you're a fucking freak.
Yeah, you're confusing as fuck. Okay, I'll change the subject, but...
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The other guy brought it up first. He said he wasn't going to be with his wife anymore because they weren't having sex. And then he offered a crazy solution.
Right.
But then a crazier thing happens where everyone starts gossiping about this.
Right.
And everyone tries it.
Yes. Now, is she with the... Because, okay, then a thing that happens on later in the movie is they introduce this sort of like Bible study. Sort of a Bible study series of scenes where the women are talking.
Yes.
Is she ever at the Bible study? The mom character?
I think she wanted to go.
She's there. Okay. Yeah, I forgot if she was there.
But
or
they
not.
Start shunning her.
Right. They start shunning her and they don't tell her about it. She almost like shows up one day. She's like, hey, you didn't tell me about it. And they're like, I think you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So, okay. They gossip about ice up the ass.
Yes.
And then there's a montage where the women are like, well, I would never do that.
Yeah.
And then a montage where women are getting ice up their ass.
Here's what's so crazy. All the women, the way they're positioned, they're sleeping on their sides.
Yes.
And all of a sudden they're just like, ooh.
Yes. There's a couple stars, but there's one star in particular who gives the performance of a lifetime where she does like this like owl face where the ice goes up her ass and she's like, ooh. It's so good.
I'm just like, you are not going to get it in from that position.
No.
And you are not going to get it in for someone who's asleep. I'm just like,
no.
And their reaction's not going to be like, oh my. It's going to be like, holy shit. What are you trying to do?
Also, here's another science. Let's bring in Mythbusters on this because, you know, sometimes you touch your skin with ice and it sticks to your skin.
It's not lube slippery at all.
No.
It's just going to stick.
It's going to stick, that thing where it just sticks and it like suctions to your skin.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? This is crazy. Mm-mm. This is too crazy. Okay. So then there's the Bible study scenes. Mm-hmm. The families continue to, this is once again, why it's so frustrating. The families are confused why the community thinks they're strange.
Yes. And I'm like, do you not remember your life before this?
Right. That's why I wish they had just a little bit more wherewithal. Obviously, I guess just to keep the plot moving, they can't have wherewithal, but like, God, I wish.
I know.
They just knew. So they could be like, hey, guys, here's what's happening.
Yeah. Like, Okay, because the son tells the family that he had sex with his coach.
Yes, there's this great dinner scene mm-hmm. where he's like, oh, I fucked the coach. Mm-hmm. And the mom and dad are like, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it hurt at first. I guess he's kind of big.
And, yes, and these the are lines from the movie.
Yeah, and the daughter's just like, stop, stop.
She's like, you fucking pervert.
Uh-huh. And the parents' only concern is that the coach might lose his job.
Right. They're like, well, he was safe with a condom, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is where it's kind of a gray area again, because it's like they kind of address it, where they're like, it's a little sketchy because he's an adult. Mm-hmm. He's an adult.
Yes.
There's a consent joke where he was like, it was consensual. And then the parents
too,
like,
you're too old for that joke.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the parents like, I think you mean consensual. That's what's so weird about this movie. Like they still try to be funny so many times.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
then, but they want to be dramatic too.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God. Okay, great. There's that scene. The daughter's really freaked out by them.
Yes.
She's like, I hate them. She prays to God a couple more times and she's like, what's wrong with my family?
She wants to stay with the judgy neighbor.
Yeah. She's like, I wish judgy neighbor was my mom.
The neighbor's name is also Peggy. Her first name.
Her first name is Peggy?
I believe so.
Okay, great.
Yeah, cause I have it here. Peggy wants Caroline to stay with her.
Perfect. Perfect.
And then the mom decides to call the coach.
Mm. Oh, right. To kind of like make sure everything's on the level.
Yes.
She's like, it's okay that you're fucking my son. I just want to make sure you're careful or you're safe or something.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then the coach freaks out.
And approaches the boy.
Yes. And he's like, did you fucking tell your parents we're having sex? And he's like, yeah, why? And he pulls out a gun.
Uh-huh.
Now, this part, I'll admit, is bananas. Because
all of it is bad, Connie. All of it is bad. I can't wait till people watch this. But I do want people to watch it because I want to see if they agree more with me or you. I welcome you to say I disagree with you, Mono. I welcome that.
No. I know it's bad. But right. It's so bad it's enjoyable.
It's fantastic.
It's like watching, let's say your 14-year-old cousin said she made a feature.
Yes. Yes, we always know it's better when it's not fun when you know it's bad. It's like they were trying to do something.
Oh, no. Everyone was giving their hardest.
So the coach pulls out the gun.
Yeah, and you see him fire, and it looks like he fires at the son.
Right. You're like, uh-oh, son's dead.
Yeah, and I'm like, I didn't see that coming. And it turns out I didn't see anything coming because he shot himself.
The coach kills himself.
Yeah, which is crazy because they did. That's not how he aimed the gun.
I know. It was a great misdirect. I assume it was a misdirect on the part of the director.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I'm
it's
like,
a disaster.
There's a misdirect and then there's full on. That's not what happened. That's full on not what happened. Like, I remember when I watched it, I was like, no, you pointed it at him.
Fair.
Like, unless he did that thing from that movie Saul where he flips bullets, I don't think he... Yeah, no.
Flips bullets. It's a disaster. Then a little bit later, you decide, you learn that, the coach has killed himself. Why? Because he didn't want to get out that he's gay or because he didn't want to get out that he's fucking a student?
Probably a combo of both.
Combo. Nice little combo.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
And so... Brian's like upset. Father's getting fired for being too kinky. The mom is getting kicked out of church group.
Right.
And they all, not just kicked out of church group, they kind of threaten her.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what do they say? I always forget the end of the movie, usually because we put it on slammed drunk and I make it like 65% of the way through. You know what I mean?
I did write down here though. So the mom told Peggy, she talks about God like one of those women on TV that is in love with the husband that beats them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very that. Very 700 Club. Very cold cases. Very Snapped. You ever seen the show Snapped?
That's one of my favorite things.
I love Snapped so much.
I love everything about it. I love the key art they use for it where you see a woman... woman's hand holding jewels and another woman's hand holding a gun. Everything about it just working.
You really quick, you need to go on a YouTube dive about a murder case that just has just recently, that's been developing over 20 years.
Oh my God.
Denise Williams. YouTube Denise Williams.
Denise Williams.
Her husband disappeared in an alligator accident in the year
what? There's already too much going on.
An alleged alligator accident in the year 2000.
Okay.
And now, almost 20 years later, they were able to find out that it was not an accident at all. I mean, and it's great. And she like just got sentenced in February. So like, I'm sure they're making documentaries about her, but it's so fresh that you have to do a YouTube dive.
Oh, this is going to be a fun night.
Yes, Denise Williams.
This is going to be a fun, fun night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
what's next in this shitty film?
The church ladies don't, they don't threaten her, but they have a meeting without her where they say something needs to be done. And I'm just like, holy shit.
Which is after they've had ice in their ass. It's amazing they didn't learn their lesson or something,
I
right?
know. I'm like, don't have their ice and judge them, you know?
Right. Why didn't they? Whatever. Okay, they're given the message that Christianity is bad and it kills you. Mm-hmm. Which I'm here for.
So Peggy drops off a pie for the family with a note that says, "We forgive you."
Oh my God. Yes. I can't believe how crazy this is. It's a pie that says, "We forgive you."
It's like an apple pie or something.
Yes.
And they all have a slice.
And they're like, "Yum. I can't wait to eat some pie."
Mm-hmm. Except for Caroline, who slept in.
Right.
And then she comes down.
Right. And also, is she like, I mean, it probably goes hand in hand with her like weight thing, her weight obsession.
Oh yeah. She doesn't want to eat anything. But
she comes downstairs.
Yeah. Oh, but the family was also thinking of moving.
Right.
Somewhere where they'd be more accepted.
Right. Right.
And then Caroline comes downstairs and she sees her whole family's dead.
Fucking dead. Mm-hmm. They killed the family because they wanted to put ice up their ass. Because
they were so different and they were so free.
Yeah.
And
that they fucking killed them?
Yeah.
This doesn't even track with the logic of the puritanical late. It's nothing tracks. The director was like, "I want to wrap this in 2 days. Should we just kill them?"
Well, my thing is just like, what's the coroner going to say? What are the police going to say? A whole family's dead. How do you?
It's really, they would easily be able to trace back the pie to her.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Very. I'm like, that's not the perfect crime, you guys.
No. And also, the more murder you watch, the more you watch, like, people get caught.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. 99% mm-hmm. of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, so they fucking kill them. Mm-hmm. Is the Aviva girl even affected?
The daughter?
The daughter. That's what I mean.
Caroline.
Caroline.
Caroline wakes up at Peggy's house. And so Peggy is kind of sort of adopting her.
Right. There's that creepy moment where she's like, "I'm so glad to be with a Christian family."
Mm-hmm. And then so they're about to... Okay, this part was crazy. During a prayer, Caroline hears something that we can't hear.
Okay.
And she suddenly gets up and she's like, "I have to go to the bathroom." She leaves the house. She sneaks out. No, she packs a bag, sneaks out.
Right.
Runs off to the train station, which is crazy because she's still on crutches. Throws away her crutches. Goes to a train station and buys the first ticket to God knows where.
What the fuck is this?
And then she says, "I wish you to no one in particular. We think it's God. I wish I knew that you sounded like me."
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because in her prayers, she's just like, "How come you never answer me?"
Right.
Yeah.
So now she's finally learned that God sounded like her.
Yes.
So now she is, we can assume, learned her lesson and now moving away from this overly suffocating Christian community.
Yeah. Or to kill herself and join her family.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think she did?
I mean, it's... I mean, this movie's crazy.
This movie's fucking batshit crazy.
She just said, because I believe she says, how far can I go with $12 or something like
that? Right.
Yeah. So she just says, she literally takes a bus ticket anywhere.
That's the end of it?
Yeah.
It's funny.
It ends on a freeze frame.
Oh my God. I barely remember that. Because like I said, I watch this movie when I'm drunk. It's a great movie to drink to and yell at. It's great.
Okay. Mono, I know this movie's yes. badly made.
You know, every part of it's bad. The acting, the writing, the direction.
Every scene, there's lighting. One thing that's I'm just like, wow.
The lighting is goddamn awful.
I don't even know what to compare the lighting to.
A closet.
It feels like a play.
Yes.
Well, 'cause here's the thing. There was no crew.
Okay, yeah, I kind of buy that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
I mean, there was no crew.
Yeah, I've truly seen car wrecks that seemed more put together than this.
There's a scene where Caroline is being a cheerleader at a football game.
Right.
That is in full attendance.
Well, it's clear. I actually know what football game it is.
Are you serious?
So I'm dead serious. I knew. So that was shot at Grimsley High School.
Okay.
Because it's local. Okay. And every year there's a Page Grimsley game. There's so I went to Page High School.
Uh huh.
And Grimsley is our rival school.
Okay.
And it's the most well attended football game every year.
Okay.
And they totally filmed it during that game.
Do you think any of those people signed waivers?
No. No way.
Okay, because I was like, how the hell did this movie get the budget for this?
They just stole it.
Okay.
They just stole that shot.
Okay. All right.
As you can tell, I mean, like, because in that scene, it's like she's the last of the line.
Yeah.
You know, she's like at the very end and she just kind of walks away behind a bleacher.
Yeah, because there you see a fully attended football game and I'm just like, you did not have the budget for this.
No.
You didn't have a budget for a normal looking house.
No. That was at a game that was already going to be well attended.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, great. Great on their part.
Yeah,
I mean, to steal a shot.
Yeah. Technically, director-wise, tone-wise, this movie is crazy. It's so crazy. It's entertaining, though.
It is entertaining. Like, definitely watch it if you like train wrecks. I do think it's a full train wreck. I do, too. I mean, like, in our house, we value bad movies very highly.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they're horror, so it's nice to watch a bad movie that is not horror.
No. Well, I don't know if you're on this gravy train. Christian films. Well, that's a beautiful untapped source.
Fun.
Have you seen God's Not Dead?
No.
Oh,
but I would. Is it like one of those, what's that creepy actor from?
Kevin Sorbo?
Oh, wow. He does Christian movies? Yeah. I meant the creepy Growing Pains actor.
Oh, Kirk Cameron? No.
Yeah.
But he's in one called Saving Christmas that is delightful. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that, honestly.
Yeah. But yeah, God's Not Dead. There's a series of them, like God's Not Dead 2, where Melissa Joan Hart's in it.
Mm.
And she has to testify that she doesn't truly believe in Jesus, otherwise she's going to get fired before the Supreme Court, because that's a thing. Yeah.
There's a bad Christmas movie called A Very Cool Christmas that is the most 2001 film I've ever seen. And it's basically this weird, I can't even describe it properly, but what I can say is that they reveal that, who's that over-tanned actor from the 70s? Maybe it's Lorenzo Lamas. Maybe it's him.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, they reveal that Santa's like this suave 70s hip guy played by Lorenzo Lamas. It makes almost no sense. And like a really vapid teen learns her lesson via this hip Santa.
I love it.
It's I can't recommend it highly enough. It's a fun disaster.
Yeah, I love a hot disaster. But the thing is, I did like the message of this movie.
Sure, which you would sum up as?
If people can live without God's law and still be good, but society won't let them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Also, put ice in your ass any chance you get. Don't incest on your sister. Your coach.
Any position works for anal, sideways, lying face up, whatever.
Which we know isn't true.
Standing up, anything works for anal. No lube is needed ever. Any shape will do.
But yeah, I do agree with you. Like, the core message is there. I guess I just couldn't help but be, I felt tortured.
I think.
Them trying to deliver the message.
I think it's because the way we were presented these movies that made it so shocking.
Right, right, right. That makes sense.
Like, you walked in thinking you were helping your community.
Yep.
You were in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
You were with friends.
Right.
I went out of my way to get an obscure movie, watch it on my laptop, and I'm just like, okay, ready for anything. And this was after I'd seen the trailer.
So you knew something was up.
I knew, like, Tommy Wiseau, here I come.
Yeah.
But then I was pleasantly surprised.
Wow.
That it was much more cohesive. I told Dave the day after I saw it, I was like, you have to see this movie. It's actually pretty good.
No. It's I can't I love that I see how the different presentation made you be like, there's something there.
Yes.
Yeah. I see that I think that's what blew me away, because even going into it, I remember someone, I mean, they submitted it to some festivals that said, like, this is getting in our festival.
Someone, one of those little accolades, it says the perfect refreshment to the passion.
Yes, the perfect antidote to the passion of the Christ, which is like, oh my God.
I'm like, well, to be fair, the passion was very well made.
Yes. Which I hate the message of that film too, but whatever. Didn't you feel, because like we've all seen American Beauty, yeah? Mm-hmm. Didn't you feel it was just so to re-encapsulate that in a sense?
Okay, this came out 2006.
Six.
2000, American Beauty came out before then.
Yes.
Like 2002 mm-hmm. or one. Mm-hmm. So it was a little late on that, but it definitely felt like it was trying to comment on that type of family.
Yes.
The quintessential American family.
Right. This was that moment where like sad families were kind of a thing, like, Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes.
That was right in this moment where it was like, dysfunctional families are fascinating.
Isn't it crazy how everyone in this family is like sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that sort of thing.
It was wild. Please watch it. I recommend drinking to it.
I might buy this movie.
Yeah, you should. You should. You should. Because no matter who, like, when you want to watch a bad movie, or you literally like have that feeling where you're like, I want to show my friends something that will knock them on their ass. Mm-hmm. This is it.
I would not have bet what was going to happen next on this movie.
No.
Because it was just so, I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the second you think you know what's happening, no.
You don't.
Absolutely not.
You don't. There's so many fun drinking games you could make to this.
It is just like all bets were off.
Yeah. Drink every time. Christianity is really like, they really hit you over the head with the idea that they don't like Christianity. Or the lighting's bad or whatever.
Mono.
Yeah. Hi.
What movies would you recommend based on this?
Based on this.
If someone was interested in this.
Yeah,
or
good.
If someone had just seen this.
Yeah. I think one other. Oh, man, I like so many fun, bad movies. Of course, I like. We already said The Room. Mm-hmm. Everyone watches Troll 2.
That's a favorite.
I know there's others I'm forgetting. I do watch a lot of bad horror. There's one called The Howling 4.
Ooh.
That is a really fun disaster.
Yeah.
And I for some reason Howling 4 is particularly bad. Oh, there's a movie they tried to bury. It's a Wes Craven werewolf movie.
Oh boy.
That they tried to bury, and there was a ton of reshoots and they tried to make it good, but basically they tried to make the Scream version of werewolves.
Oh.
They tried to make the cool hip version of a werewolf movie.
Yeah.
I think it's streaming somewhere. I wish I could remember the name. It might be something like Howl or something like that. But that one's really good.
Oh, I need to see this.
Because they tried to make it like hip and Kevin Williamson-esque. You know, they tried to make it.
Oh, God.
They tried to give it that cool thing, and it's just a disaster.
Oh, I love it.
There's a couple other I'm forgetting. Damn, I'm forgetting. I also love The Mutilator. That's like a classic, really bad hack 'em up slasher. And then there's that bad gay one. Oh God, there's a famously bad gay one called like Ben and David, or I'm messing this up. But if you look up bad gay movie,
okay,
you'll find it.
I just saw a good gay slasher the other night.
Really?
Yeah, it's brand new. It's French. It's called Knife Plus Heart.
Oh my God, that sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. It's Cursed. Yeah. It starts. Cursed is the bad Scream werewolf movie.
It's called Cursed?
Yes.
All right.
Starring Christina Ricci. Right.
Oh, I have to watch it now.
Yeah, you do.
I'm a Ricci fan.
Ricci.
I will Ricci and find that movie.
I want to say Gayheart might be in it. Whatever. Remember, I mean, Rebecca Gayheart?
She was in Urban Legends.
Yes, she was.
And now she is one.
Yeah. I hope you have the shade sound effect you can play right there. The roo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo. That's good.
Oh, God.
That's really fun. Yeah, there's one I'm forgetting, but yeah, I love fun, bad movies. They're so fun to yell at.
Yeah, something I don't know what it is, but something in my brain is just like, I'm enjoying all of this. Yeah. I love seeing the intention of something mm-hmm. and it just misfiring so hard.
Right. The other few I just remembered right now, which are, everyone knows, you know, Showgirls, mm-hmm. Burlesque.
I refuse to watch.
Oh, fair. And Teen Witch. Have you seen Teen Witch?
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's one of the best movies. That movie is good, but it is filled with
calamity. It is bonkers.
Yeah.
There's a musical part that only happens in one part of the movie. It's so insane.
Which one? Wait, which one?
Oh, the locker room scene.
We like boys. Yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah, and I'm just like, are we not going back to that?
Do you like that boy in it? How do you feel about the boy? Because that boy really gets me going. The lead.
He's pretty hot.
He's really hot. And I think it's a symptom of like when I was younger, like being very lured and seduced by that sort of like white jock boy I would never be. Mm-hmm. That was it for me. But also I grew up being brainwashed by Abercrombie and Zach Morris.
He was very 80s jock boy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he looked like a Ken doll.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. That's so hot to me.
This says a lot about me. You know who I thought was hot in the movie?
Who?
The little brother.
Ha!
Who later? Are you kidding? Who later ended up coming out of the closet?
Ah, he did.
And here's the thing: I watched it on YouTube.
What do you mean you thought he was hot?
I saw the movie as a kid.
Got it. Okay, thank you. That clarifies everything.
I should have been like, no. I didn't see the movie for the first time last week. I saw it for the first time in junior high.
Right. It's that weird thing. Like when I was young, I liked 13-year-old Zach Morris, but I'm allowed to. Yeah, I was 13.
Yes.
Great.
You liked the kid?
That's so funny.
Here's what made me laugh and summed it up perfectly though. Someone on YouTube was commenting because it was streaming on YouTube for a bit. And they're like, this kid is like an older lesbian who's seen it all.
Absolutely. How does he look like an old lesbian at 7 years old?
But when I read that, I was like, that's what he is. That's all.
That's why I like him.
Yeah, he's seen it all. He's over it.
Yeah.
He's making a giant pizza for no reason.
What is he saying when he's like under the bed? He's saying he says something really funny when he's like under the bed. Oh, where he's like saying the name of the boy or something. Whatever. He's insane.
Yeah, the whole movie's insane, but I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. There's like a weird disconnect. Like when a movie crosses a certain threshold, I'm just like, more. I need to see. I want to see where the grips are. I want to see, I could tell this was a bad take. I want to see it. More. Is it the part of your brain that enjoys this? Like when you slow down, when you see a car wreck, is that what it is?
Probably. I think so.
Is it
you want to understand it?
I don't know.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I've actually read up on this and there's differing conclusions because some people say, it is like Schadenfreude. And some people say it's just the opposite. Some people say, no, like we as mammals want to understand other mammals' pain. And that's why sometimes we slow down is because like we as animals are processing our mortality or pain.
Oh.
So some people say it's actually a sign of empathy because we're just like on an animal level affected by it. Kind of differing thoughts on that.
Yeah.
It's weird. But yeah, I guess I have to admit there is a part of you that, or at least me, I mean the universal you, that's like, watching someone else fail just makes you feel kind of good.
But sometimes they fail so hard. It's a fail, you know?
Right.
You want to see more.
That's what's so fun about it. It's like, that's the human condition. Like there's nothing more human than trying and failing.
Yeah.
Succeeding is pretty hard. Statistically.
Do you think the Bible was the first fail compilation tape?
Yeah, absolutely. Bible. God, the Bible is like the first, like,
the first memes.
It is like a shitty mixtape. It is just like, everyone's like, me too. I'll add my shitty story.
Yeah. Here's my version of it.
Ugh. Awful. It's like a yearbook. It's like a yearbook where people wouldn't stop writing in the back.
Oh yeah. But those gel pens.
Right. Someone's like, this is my page.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes. Don't worry. I saved you a whole page.
Oh my God.
Mono.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad we can spread the good word, ironically, of forgiving the Franklins.
Not so ironically for me.
No, yeah.
I don't know how I feel. I don't know. Oh, I think people should check this movie out for sure.
Right.
Movie is bonkers. I love it. But it has a good message.
It is great. I mean, it is a sight to behold. Mm-hmm. You get to see dong. You get to see pubes.
You'll never see another film like this.
You will never see another. And
well, unless this director continues.
I do want to see his robot film. I'm going to find the name of that.
That just sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend apparently was in it. His mom played the robot. I will send you the YouTube link.
Please do.
Yes.
I'll get a box of wine ready. Woo! Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, just follow me on the social medias at my name, Mono Agapian. You can listen I do a drag race recap podcast called What the Tuck. Listen to that. And I have some other podcast items popping up. I have some projects coming up that are very queer, so stay tuned for that. I'm excited to share those with hopefully any and everyone who wants to listen.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for hunting down the film. I know it's like in the Disney vault.
After a while I had to find this movie. Yeah. It was just I had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, you can subscribe and give us a rating on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Campfire Media. You could follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Indie Darlings Podcasts. Thank you and good night.
Short stories. Is life getting in the way of you enjoying short stories? Well, Campfire Media's podcast Stories But Shorter has got you covered. Each week, a published author comes on to read one of their fantastic short stories, and then they talk about it with the host, me, Cassie Jerkins, and my producer, Jeremy Schmidt. Enjoy a short story on your way to work, discover great writers, and feel a little more cultured. Download and subscribe to Stories But Shorter on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.